Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere. Spike texted the show and said, why would you want Congress involved in college sports? Have you met Congress? No, thanks. Oh, do not get me wrong, Spike. I absolutely do not want the federal government involved in my college football. However, college football has unfortunately, by way of, instead of, how many times have you heard me say this, laying down guidelines as football changed and demanding that athletes try to knock guard post down, they are trying to build the guard post after you have already made all the changes, which means that instead of the athletes having to knock down guardrails that have precedent already, you have to make the argument of why putting new restrictions on players is actually good and, more often than not, important, legal. The issue that you have here is, I believe that the issue you are in is that there's no other way now. I don't think there's any other way. The NCAA, in and of itself, has rendered itself feckless. It has rendered itself unable to govern itself. That means that the only way that anything can change at this point, to me, is congressional interference. It is likely, ultimately, an antitrust exemption for the NCAA, followed by athletes being deemed employees, given benefits and the ability to unionize. That, I think, is the only path forward.
Here's the problem with this. There's been an outcry wanting Congress or government in general to get involved in this, and they still haven't.
They absolutely... So they have stuck their toe in the water. We had the SCORE Act back in July. Now we have the SAFE Act, which is the SCORE Act was largely pushed forward by Republicans. Just as somebody who studied this thing not taking a stance, it was, in my opinion, heavily tilted towards the universities and the NCAA.
All right, if you're not taking a stance, if you give your opinion, you are kind of taking a stance. I'm just saying.
No, so. I think I can give an opinion without taking a stance. Taking a stance is, and that is bad, or and that is good. I can say, I believe that it is tilted this way. That doesn't mean I'm saying that's a good or a bad thing.
And you could be wrong.
I absolutely could
because
be
because it's an opinion. Okay, all right.
I absolutely could. That is why I specifically stated out loud, it is my opinion that it was tilted towards the colleges, the universities, and the NCAA.
I partially retract.
The Democrats yesterday introduced the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act is, in my opinion, heavily tilted towards players, towards the player protection side of things. Now, you have to try to get those people in the room together. And you have to try to reach a compromise that is somewhere in the middle. That's how the government is supposed to work 99.9% of the time. Will they? I don't know. We'll find out. They're testing the waters on this. But again, even if they enact one of or a combination of these two acts, those acts will still have to be challenged by and hold up in front of a spectrum of federal judges as okay, constitutional, legal, whatever. Just because Congress levies an act does not mean that it is immediately the law of the land and unimpeachable. Like, it still will be challenged, and it still has to hold up. So, all that being said, Spike, the point is, I don't think that there is another path. I am open to ideas, but as somebody who not just pays attention, but is interested in this stuff because I'm a giant nerd, I haven't had anybody present one yet that I go, okay, I think that's got merit. That does not ultimately wrap back around to it's going to take some sort of congressional action to get to a point where everybody is protected and everybody plays by the same rules. It's a level playing field across the board, because we have already seen, even with congressional interaction, though very mild, we have already seen states, Tennessee, California, who have enacted state legislation about how their state institutions are obligated to run, and then argued successfully in some cases that state laws about the operations of their universities, their colleges, their institutions of higher learning supersede the laws of the NCAA. And what some of them have said, like for instance, Tennessee, is we are allowed to do this thing. In fact, it's mandated that our university does this thing. And that thing is something that is like, give a lot more money to players than the NCAA says we're allowed to. So instead of saying, no, actually our universities are allowed to, which would be easier to push back against, what they are saying is, actually our universities must do this. It is in our law that this is an obligation of these universities that they must do, because the NCAA cannot step. They can step in and say, well, if you want to participate under our banner, you have to follow this rule, even though you say that you don't. It is much more difficult for the NCAA to step in and say, if you want to play under our banner, you cannot not follow a state law. Does that make sense? Like, if Tennessee says the state law is you have to give away $1 billion to players, that is a law, you must do this thing, the NCAA can't come in and say, actually, Tennessee, you must break the law to play under our banner. They would have that's a lawsuit Tennessee would, and I believe already has, won. So that is why I've said, like, the guardrails needed to go up when this was going into effect, not now. And that is why Congress has to get involved. All right. I got some sound for you, a couple of different clips I want to play I've picked up over the past 24 hours. We talked about this. Media day in the NBA was 2 days ago. That means that we have seen a bunch of teams back in action with their new rosters unveiled. One of them, the Golden State Warriors, who, of course, last year acquired media day sensation Jimmy Buckets. Now, very disappointed because I didn't get Emo Jimmy at media day. Emo Jimmy was a staple in Miami, not at Golden State, apparently. However,
I don't think he could be emo at Golden State.
I don't know, man. California? Like, a lot of emo bands out of California.
I think if you're emo at Golden State, someone might beat you up.
Jimmy
Buckets.
By
the name of Draymond Green. Oh,
shut up, Draymond Green. Jimmy Buckets, however, has developed, hilariously, this antagonistic relationship with Buddy Hield. If you've been following this team, they're just like two friends who give each other crap all the time. Well, Jimmy Butler was doing his press conference at Media Day, and we got our first listen to Jimmy and Buddy back together again. These dudes are more entertaining than the basketball team. They're more entertaining than the basketball team. I love it. I love it. AJ Pierzynski is a former catcher in Major League Baseball. You know, we were talking about the Major League Baseball postseason yesterday. I gave you my predictions, and this year I am going to lean on a foundation of Major League Baseball and at least analysis to make my World Series picks. This is the reason that I picked the Seattle Mariners, a team that has got maybe the best pitching as an entire staff and bullpen in Major League Baseball on one side. And this is why I picked on the other side the Milwaukee Brewers as a surprise pick out of the National League, because I think those two teams may have put together the best pitching. Now, there's a question about the LA Dodgers and whether or not their guys, some have aged, some have been dealing with injuries. If they get right, the Dodgers are winning the NL. And last night it looked like they were right behind Blake Snell. Blah, 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 blah. Point here is, I also talked about Hunter Green, a guy that I love for the Cincinnati Reds, but I picked them to lose this opening round series, primarily because the Cincinnati Reds have built a pitching staff that is more about power than finesse. It is more about heat than location. And I think that's a problem. AJ Pierzynski is a catcher. He hosts, or was a catcher, he's retired now. He hosts the Foul Territory podcast, and he said something, and this is absolutely me patting myself on the back for a former high-level Major League Baseball player echoing an opinion that I have been saying for a very long time. I love it. I love it. I love the take, and he's right.
Dada Nats behind.
I do love that, too.
Ever heard that before? Because I don't believe I've ever heard that before.
I don't believe I have.
I mean, I understand what he's saying, but still, I've never heard that before.
That's the best dumb sayings are the ones that as soon as you share that, that's dumb, and I also know exactly what you mean. Dot a Nats behind is a great phrase, and it will be incorporated into the Rob Brown lexicon moving forward. Shout out to Sam Darnold. My man is out here dotting the behind. No, that doesn't work. Never mind. Take that back. So I love this from AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah, if you leave the Nats out, it becomes a totally different thing. So
that's also true. Cody Decker and I have for a very long time been saying, you know, Major League Baseball used to be a place that like every pitching staff might have one guy who could throw 98, 99. Now every staff has like four or five guys that can throw 100, 101, etc. And while there is a place for that in baseball and there are matchups where that's successful, I have also pointed out that if you look at some of the more successful pitchers in baseball right now, I'm talking about Garrett Crochet with the Red Sox. I'm talking about Tarek Skubal with the Tigers. I'm talking about Max Fried with the Yankees. They can go get 98, 99. Maybe every now and then they brush 100, but these guys are 100% control guys. And the reason I bring this up is not for the guys that are already in the league. I bring this up for those of you that are the next generation of pitchers or are coaching them. Teach your kids control. Teach your kids precision. Teach your kids how to hit a spot, not to just try to blaze one past the bat of an opponent, because you're eventually going to see, as baseball progresses, just like it took pitchers a while to get to where everybody could throw a hundy, you're going to start to see batters who get progressively better at hitting 100. And now all of a sudden throwing 100, that's not going to get it for you anymore. You know what will always win you games? This was always the Greg Maddux thing. Maddux never overpowered anybody. He beat you with pinpoint precision, accuracy, and psychology of the game. He knew what you didn't want, what you couldn't hit, and he knew how to put it in exactly the spot you couldn't hit it. I love this take, and I think this take should be celebrated and should be taught to young pitchers. It is not about gas anymore. It is about making sure you hit your spot. Let's get this one in here. The Miami Dolphins won their Monday Night Football game, first game of the season. Now, I didn't play this clip on Monday because I said if the Dolphins don't win this game, then this clip is irrelevant. Now it's relevant. They won the game. This is Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver.
Wow, that dude is intense.
Mm-hmm. That was terrifying.
I'm about to go down the hall and tackle somebody right now.
The line, all the problems that we need to solve can be solved by violence, is one thing, but to deliver it the way he did, all of our problems can be solved by violence. Like, dude, all right, bro. All right. And then what the Dolphins do? They went around there. They played good defense. Offensively, their offensive line actually blocked for Tua for the first time. Miami won the football game. Yeah, it's against a bad team. Against a bad team. But goodness gracious, like, I heard that and I was like, damn. All right. I'm in. This guy's got it. Let me give you one more. This one is just, it's not sports, but it's sports fun. It is a sports guy. Dale Earnhardt Jr., his podcast, it's taken off. Maybe the second biggest podcast in the NASCAR world right now. You know, I've said this 1,000 times. There's not much that I like more than finding out that high-level athletes are one of us. You know, it's just nice to know. And I would like to say this. I point this out to my loving, doting, and adoring wife all the time. You may see people who have their act together. You may see dudes who have their life together, and you see and you go, man, that guy's like the paradigm of success. That guy's intelligent, he's smart, he's witty, he's funny, he's got his life together, he's what we should all aspire to be. I just need you to know, we're kind of all dumbasses, like a lot of the time. Like everybody has their moment of just complete and total dumbassery, including Dale Earnhardt Jr., who decided to get into a fist fight with a wasp nest, which is, I believe, Alonzo, a mistake that all of us make one time. One time.
On purpose. Every once in a while you might get, oh, no, that's a wasp nest and it's too late. But yeah, on purpose, yeah, probably one time.
Every one of us thinks, I can hit that son of a gun with a broom, and then I'll just skedaddle about 30, 40 yards away. They'll eventually figure out we don't live here no more, and they'll take off. And then there's one that with their weird little eyes see you from across the yard, and they're like, that MF-er right there. That's the guy. Let's murder him. Ladies, I need you to know, there are times when you're going to come home, and your husband's done something dumb, and you're going to be like, how dumb can you be? How dumb can you be? Guy, you are just exceptionally dumb. I need you to know, I've been trying to explain this to my wife for 5 years now. It's not just me, babe. We're all this way a little bit. Maybe some more than others, some less than others. But we all have our moments, ma'am. Trust me on that. Back after this, Rob Brown, the Great Wind Lonzo, you, the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick programming note for you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have tuned in to hear the iconic host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, Denton Day, who has been joining us on Wednesdays at 9:20. Had a conversation with Denton this morning. It is going to be a shift in scheduling for Denton. He will be from this point forward joining us on Fridays at 9:20 a.m. He had to move last week, and he just said that due to a schedule shift, he requested if he could do Friday. Still wants to do the show, is going to do the show, but he will be joining us on Fridays at 9:20 moving forward. And why not? Why not? Friday, weekend, the next day, which is just around the corner. Denton Day will start joining us there. I want to play a clip for you. And this clip, for the record, is from last week. But we found out yesterday that the Carolina Panthers are elevating Jimmy Horn Jr. onto their active roster as wide receiver. Xavier Leggett, after he left a practice a couple of weekends ago for a hamstring injury, or at least that is what it was claimed by Carolina, has not returned to the active roster. May very well be that it is a lingering hamstring injury, and they want to give him.
This is the same hamstring injury that Lamar has?
It might be. It may very well be that it is a lingering hamstring injury, and they would rather, like, you weren't killing it for us before, let's make sure that you have more than enough R&R time. And my belief is that is because when you come back, you've got one more chance. You've got one more chance. And I told you, after week one, I had questions about XL. After week two, as much as I love the guy and as much as I want to be friends with Xavier Leggett in real life and as much as he is absolutely the captain of team content for me over these last year and a half or 2 years, at the end of the day, if you can't play football, if you can't catch the ball, you can't be a member of the football team, right? Like, you go be an internet celebrity, you would take over the world. Go be the Southern version of what Marshawn Lynch has turned into, just kind of a viral celebrity who does fun stuff all the time as you. But you can't be a member of the football team if you're a wide receiver and you can't receive. It's a problem. So Jimmy Horn Jr. has been elevated to the active roster, will likely be the fifth or sixth wide receiver on the roster, depending on how they structure this Sunday's roster, active roster against the Miami Dolphins. And as soon as I heard that, with the acknowledgement that, and for the record, I genuinely hope that it is a lingering hamstring injury for Xavier Leggett. Not because I want him to be hurt, but because after I heard this clip last week, and it has just been stuck with me since then, if it's a lingering injury, it makes sense that they would sit him one more week and bring Jimmy Horn Jr. into the equation to find out what he can do for this football team. If this is solely because there is something going on away from the cameras with Xavier Leggett, then I think this is probably the end of Xavier Leggett. Here is the clip. This is XL in the middle of the week last week after the injury, after we found out he wasn't going to play. This is him in front of his locker room, and it is the first Xavier Leggett clip since he became a Panther that does not make me happy. That does not sound to me like a dude who's in a good spot right now. That it doesn't sound like a guy who's in a tough spot, especially considering because of who he is and because of how wildly entertaining he has been as a person, for a dude that we know what an upbeat Xavier Leggett sounds like. Even when things in the past, like this past offseason, when the narrative around XL was effectively, you got to show out this year, man. Like, this is it. You got to show out this year. And even with that happening this offseason, you would still see those workout tapes with Xavier Leggett, and like, he's XL. And it's part of the reason we love the guy. That's not the XL. Like, that's not the guy. And the fear that I have is that whatever it is that has caused this block, this issue that has created a world where even I, noted public and unapologetic Xavier Leggett, the dude fan, am like, I don't know if you're an NFL receiver, man. Like, I want you around forever, both as a person because you entertain me, and as a radio host because hashtag team content, you are an ultimate provider of it, like top notch. I don't know if that's the guy.
Wait. We have seen him make really good catches. We've seen what he can do after he catches the ball. He's just in his head about not catching the ball right now. That doesn't make him not an NFL receiver.
No, what makes him not an NFL receiver is finishing a game with 5 targets, 3 drops. The 2 catches were spectacular, but 5 catches, 3 drops. What makes him a not NFL receiver is clutch time moment in week 1, BY drops a dot into your hands and you don't drag the toe. And I know it's a hard thing to do, but that's why you get paid millions of dollars. You don't drag the toe to be in bounds.
He was running full speed. Right,
it doesn't
then.
Matter.
That catch has to be made. I disagree with you.
That catch has to be made.
He made the catch.
No, he didn't. Was he in bounds?
Right.
Then he's not a catch.
He technically made the catch. He didn't get his other foot in.
Which you have to do.
You run full blast see if you can stop. And I know,
I'm not an $11 million a year guy who is paid to do one job and that is it. That's the difference. It would be one thing if somebody came in here and tried to do a segment on the radio and they blah, 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 blah all over themselves. You would go, yeah, but you're not paid for that. This isn't what you do. You don't have years and years of practice and training for that. That is your job, is to make that catch. Catching the ball out of bounds is not making the catch. It is a catch, but it's not a catch. And that is the problem.
Overblown. Happens to a lot of receivers in the NFL, and people have made too big of a deal out of it.
It is
one
thing.
Yes, he is dropping balls, but he's not the only receiver doing that. It doesn't make him not an NFL receiver. That part bothers me because I disagree with you. I think he has potential to be that. We've seen how good he can be when he's on. So the ability is there. And sometimes we get in our heads and he's got to get past it. And hopefully he will. Hopefully you'll be able to come on here and say, you were wrong. He is an NFL receiver.
Whoa. Time out. I did not say he is not. What I said is the way that he is performing indicates that he's not. As I've said 7 times, I hope that whatever it is that makes him sound like that I hope that goes away. I don't know if it's going to take a sports psychologist. I don't know if he needs to go out in the desert with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what the case is. Whatever is in his head, I hope he can clear it. I hope he can move on. And I hope that he can figure it out so that he can be that guy. What I do know is in the two games that Xavier Leggett has played, after an entire offseason where the only narrative is, this is your prove-it year. For him to show up in those first two games, and yes, he had a couple of spectacular catches. He also had a couple of bad drops. And I can't say, well, you make two spectacular catches a game, and that is going to overshadow three bad drops that you got hit in the numbers, or a ball on the sideline where 85% of wide receivers in the NFL are going to get both feet down, and you just, because the record is, I don't think he didn't get both feet down because it was a ridiculous physical task. I think he didn't get both feet down because he just didn't get both feet down. Like, it wasn't in his head that it's in the NFL, I got to have 2 feet.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
And that's fine. It's subjective. But that's the way that I viewed that pass. You just either forgot, didn't know, whatever. You got to have 2 feet because that was a two-feetable ball. And it didn't happen. So, I hope that whatever it is that has created this, I hope Xavier Leggett can clear it. I hope he's got a sports psychologist. I hope he's got a therapist. I know Dave Canales has said a number of times, we believe in this guy and we are going to give him everything he needs, all the support he needs to figure it out. But the fact that 2 weeks since the hamstring injury, Jimmy Horn Jr. is getting elevated and Xavier Leggett is not making his return, I really hope it's the hamstring injury and not that he's just not right, because it is a bloodthirsty world, and being not right for a few weeks is good enough to get you run.
If you saw what they did last week, would you be in a hurry to be back?
If my job was on the line, yes. If the narrative around me was, if I don't get it right, I'm gone, yes. I would rather go out there and play and get my ass whipped.
There's a lot of people in that team that need to get it right.
I don't disagree. And we could have conversations about a lot of them. But there is one that I think we all specifically say we have high hopes for that are not being met right now. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, got a couple more college football stories I want to get into. We will start looking ahead to the weekend. It is a get-right game for the Clemson Tigers against the Tar Heels of North Carolina. So what do they need to do, and how do they do it so that we aren't having an even rougher conversation next week? I'll tell you next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked back in hour number one about the fact that the South Carolina Tigers did something that I think that they need to do. Sorry, the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Dude,
I'm going to get shot.
Dude, what in
I'm
the...
Gonna,
that's
I'm going
to
get run out of town.
That's one of the worst things you've ever done.
Yeah, that's on me. Because I'm about to talk about the Clemson Tigers. But I wanted to point out that back in hour number one, and if you missed it, go to thefanupstate.com, go to the podcast section, drop it down to the Rob Brown Show, and listen to hour number one where we talked about this in segment number two or three. I don't know. Just go get it and listen to the whole hour and find out. Get right games. That is a concept in football that you hope that your team never has to take into consideration. Because a get right game means you ain't right. And the Clemson Tigers ain't right. Dabo Swinney said in his press conference yesterday that it is a coaching failure. In fact, let me play you that clip very quickly. That is maybe the first thing that Dabo Swinney said into a microphone in 2 weeks that I agree with. It is a coaching failure. And again, I'm not going to give you brownie points for saying it because it's true. It's expected that you would say that. That's what I asked you. Scratch that. That's what I thought you should have said 2 weeks ago when you stirred up the college football media with that initial press conference you gave where you went on the 13-whatever-it-was-minute rant about everything except this year's football team. So, good. Glad you got around to it. But it's not like you're not getting bonus points for saying the thing that, yes, we know is true and your fans have been asking you to say for, again, 2 or 3 weeks now. So, with that being said, knowing that, again, I pointed out, I think there has been a dramatic lack of development for a guy that put up the numbers last year, even if they were padded numbers out of Cade Klubnik in the ACC. I haven't seen the development of Cade Klubnik either as a on-field leader or as a quarterback, that being the thing that he is. So you have got, as South Carolina did and took advantage of against Kentucky this past Saturday, this Saturday, a get-right game against the North Carolina Tar Heels. And keep in mind, when you play games like this, even if Dabo was correct, he said it, not me, that this team cannot win a national championship this year, because while I do think a 9-3 team is going to the playoffs this year, I do not think that it is coming out of the ACC. It will come out of the SEC. You still, if nothing else, need to prove to the next generation of Clemson Tiger players, the names you have lined up for next year's recruiting class, the guys who at the end of the year will go into the portal and be looking to upgrade to a contender for next year, that yes, it was an anomaly. It was not who we are anymore. Like, this isn't who we are. It was an anomaly. It was a bad start to the season, but hey, we're still the Clemson Tigers. We're still them. You've got to take advantage of this game against North Carolina because you are, in my opinion, dangerously close to the narrative becoming the dynasty is over. Clemson's run on the top end of college football spectrum is no more. They are just another run-of-the-mill ACC team. You are right on the borderline. In fact, I would go so far as to say you can probably maybe afford one more loss. And honestly, that loss to me is if and only if Florida State beats Miami this weekend and they move back closer to the top 10. A loss to Miami, Florida State's probably falling out of the top 25, or they're going to be like 24-25 at the best at number 18 right now. If Florida State comes into that game and they are ranked at, you know, number 12, 13, maybe as high as 10 with some other losses, then like maybe you can take one more loss. If Florida State loses to Miami, you can't take another loss. Or the narrative is going to, and this is the price you pay for being on the top of college football for so long, you are disliked for the same reason the Yankees are disliked. When you are a power, people dislike you. That comes with the territory. Ask Lonzo in his Chiefs gear. When the Mahomes dynasty started, everybody was in. The longer it's gone on, the more people are happy to see the Chiefs lose. Welcome to America. It's how we roll. So, this North Carolina game is that important because forget the loss. If North Carolina makes this a game with you after they got hammered by UCF and just nothing is going right for North Carolina right now, and you have all the stuff going on around Bill Belichick and his off-field decisions and activities, if they even make it a game with you, with the narrative being what it is about North Carolina right now, the criticism compounds. Even if you win the game, if you go out there and you win this game 21-20, 21-17, your offense looks lackadaisical. North Carolina, who could not score on UCF, scores a couple of tutties on you. It's going to get worse before it gets better. The takeaway for me is, much like South Carolina did against Kentucky this weekend, get back to foundational football. Get back to foundational football. I don't need fancy. I don't need you out there trying to run complex route patterns and pop 80-yard touchdowns to Antonio. I don't need any of that. Go out there, recognize that you have the better football team, and recognize that as long as your team doesn't melt down And as long as your team executes the fundamentals of college football, you'll win this game just on being that much better than them. And even if you are disappointed in the coaching staff, having a better run of coaches than North Carolina is showing right now. This game does not need to be flashy. This game needs to be go out there, run the fundamentals, do the basics, get the basics right, and go hang 47 on North Carolina. Go look like the Clemson team we expected you to start looking like at the beginning of the year. Adam Randall has been out of the running back field one of the pleasant surprises this year. I was giving the guy a lot of crap at the... Scratch that. I wasn't giving Adam Randall a bunch of crap at the beginning of the year. Adam Randall is a dude that was asked to convert positions, learn a new position, and have the weight of the franchise placed on his shoulders from the beginning as RB1. And he early didn't show that he was up to the task. The last couple of weeks, Adam Randall has looked surprisingly better, to the point that they've got him returning kicks at this point, because as Dabo said, anytime that Adam Randall has the ball in his hands, he's got a chance to change the game with that tote. So give him the rock. Kickoff returns, run the rock, whatever. You need to, Clemson fans, and I know that this is not something that in the grand scheme of things you are ever going to agree with, but for the sake of what they did Saturday against Kentucky and what you need to do Saturday against North Carolina, take a page out of the South Carolina playbook. Go out there, get the fundamentals right, power football, ISOs, pulls, whatever. Just do what you need to do. And I'm not saying treat this as a practice game. I am not saying treat this as an exhibition. I'm not saying to take this as for granted. Because with all of the off-season buddy-buddy that Dabo and Bill Belichick did before this year started at ACC Media Days, on that ACC Network special that they did together with Rhys Davis, for all the buddy-buddy stuff, I can't imagine that, no matter what he says, I can't imagine that Bill Belichick does not look at this game and say, this gets the absolute flamethrower off of me if I can win this game. Even if Clemson is 1-3, even if they're not good, if I win this game, I buy myself some time to get the football team where people expected me to get the football team faster than I'm getting them there. This is a Super Bowl-style game for them. Even if you're 1-3, you're still the powerhouse, at least in name, that Bill Belichick can hang a hat on and go, hey, you know what? Yeah, we lost to UCF, but we turned around our next time out, and we got Clemson. See, we're moving forward. They are going to treat this game as if it is the most important game on the schedule for them. Clemson, I would suggest you do the same. And I would suggest you go out there and recognize where the advantage is. The advantage is very simply on paper talent. Even if you are not playing your best football, you are just that much better than them. So, in the passing game, do whatever Cade is best at, in your opinion. All right? Do whatever Cade is best at. If you feel like, in order to, and this is my suggestion, if you feel like, in order to get Cade Klubnik back to where he is comfortable in the pocket, as he looked in the second half of last year, then run a clean pocket. Run a pro-style West Coast quick hit offense. Allow Cade Klubnik to not have to stand in the pocket for 7 seconds, face pressure behind an offensive line that still is not performing up to expectation, and have to worry about moving the football. I think that one of the problems with Cade Klubnik may very well be that in spending the last 3 years in a row, and I've heard him do it in front of Cade Klubnik, Dabo Swinney saying, I want Cade on the move. I want him running. I want him using the legs. I think Cade has gotten to a point now where if there is not a perfect available pass somewhere, he defaults to taking off. He defaults to moving in the pocket. He defaults to running around. And I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying it decreases the efficiency of the pass game. So, play clean pocket football. Run a bunch of ins. Run a bunch of slants. Run a bunch of wheels. Run a bunch of hooks. Run a bunch of short yardage routes, mid-yardage routes, where Cade Klubnik can look, see the defense, recognize the side that they're playing away from, and hit a quick pass and just let him get into a routine. And in order to make sure that that is going to be efficient, utilize the bright spot of the offense so far, which is a game-by-game improving Adam Randall as your highlight. He needs to tote the rock 22-23 times in traditional run game style so that you can throw the ball 24-25 times with Cade Klubnik against an honest defense that is not bringing a ton of extra heat, and throw it West Coast style so that he can just complete a string of passes comfortably and get into the rhythm and the routine that he has not been able to get into so far this season. This is something Clemson has not been used to over the past few years. It is a get-right game. When you get to a get-right game, get back to the fundamentals. Get back to the basics. Get back to doing whatever it is that is going to give your guys the chance to get into a rhythm. Do that against North Carolina. Turn around and blow it up against Boston College next week and get a rhythm developed before SMU comes to town, because you know good and damn well you're their target now to prove that, yeah, we've lost some, but we're still them in this conference, even as newcomers. Get it right this weekend with the fundamentals, then take that and the newfound confidence you get against North Carolina and go beat the hell out of Boston College next weekend. All right, there you go. Clemson fans, your reaction to that, 844-326-3663. Now, something I know you will have a reaction to. Lonzo Sports Flash.
The MLB wildcard round started yesterday, and the Detroit Tigers defeated Cleveland 2-1. Detroit needed only five hits, including RBIs from Spencer Torkelson and Zach McKinstry, to win. The Cubs grabbed a 3-1 win over San Diego in Game 1. Chicago had back-to-back homers from Seiya Suzuki and Carson Kelly. Boston beat the Yankees 3-1. New York had 13 combined strikeouts and failed to score with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. And the Dodgers took down the Reds 10-5. Blake Snell got the win with 7 innings and 9 strikeouts. The Big 12 fined Colorado $50,000 and reprimanded the school publicly for a derogatory chant aimed at BYU fans. The chant, which specifically mentioned Mormons, was chanted during BYU's 24-21 victory in Boulder. A federal judge will allow the Pac-12's lawsuit against the Mountain West Conference over $55 million in poaching fees to go forward. The suit claims the clause schools signed when joining the Mountain West mandating payment for leaving for the Pac-12 is unlawful.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.